Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I think we're good to go. Hey, everybody. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we attempt to make today make sense.
And I'm Andy Euler. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Monday. Around here, we call that What We Miss Monday.
Yeah, and that's right. So we're going to be doing the usual news fix, but also tell you about some stories you might have missed over the weekend or things that just like we were thinking about over the weekend. And then we'll wrap up with a little Make Me Smile. So, Andy, since you are our wonderful person joining in to fill in while I am also filling in while Kai and Molly are taking some much needed R&R. Why don't you go first?
You want me to start out with just absolute bummer news? I can go ahead and do that.
Oh, you can't be worse than Megan last week, so.
No, it's so funny. I was listening back to some shows, and Megan was talking about sort of the wildfires in the West and drought. And this is sort of speaking to exactly that, right? We got this report from the United Nations, from the what's called the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. It's a bunch of governments who come together and sort of try to talk about what we're experiencing. The news is not good, believe it or not. What struck me, though, what I wanted to talk to you about a little bit is it feels like a little bit of a shift. We for the last couple of years, for at least the last 2 years, we've been talking about mitigation. That has been sort of the key word, right? We've been talking about different things that humans can do to make sure that we're not accelerating or we're not sort of speeding up how much the planet is warming. It feels like right now the shift in even sort of the language is now adaptation. That word kept coming up in this huge report where it was like, look, this is already happening, and we're almost too late to start mitigating or thinking about mitigation. Now we just have to think about adaptation. I'm curious. I mean,
and not
that's
making
the
it
reality,
worse.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if I recall correctly from looking at it this morning, as they said that we sped up global warming by about 10 years, or that some of the more severe consequences of climate change, global warming, are happening a decade earlier. Are going to happen a decade earlier than expected. And even if we fix everything right now and drastically reduce our emissions, we're still looking at rising sea levels for hundreds of years. So now it's about what do we do now? And I think it is, as you said, a shift in mindset. The other big thing about this was one of the sort of waffling points for people who don't necessarily want to view this as a climate crisis has been like, oh, well, the climate always changes and we don't know the role of humans and that
science is up in the air. Let's look at history. Sure.
And these scientists were saying, look, now we know for sure it's humans. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Like, it is us. We are doing this, and we are the only ones who can stop it. But, of course, it all comes back to money and who is going to pay for it and how do you support the countries that are trying to develop in the way that the United States and other Western industrialized nations did, which was by polluting a lot. And yep. these other countries are saying, hey, you know, you got to have all of your economic growth at the expense of the planet and our relatively low-lying countries in many cases that are going to bear the brunt of climate change. So it should now be on the wealthier nations to do something. It's a lot.
It's also one of those things, you're exactly right to talk about money, because the other thing that I keep sort of hearing about, and I was lucky enough, I went to this week-long fellowship. It was great. A whole bunch of experts sort of talking about the different technology, the different science. What I kept hearing was the technology and the science is there. We just have to have investment to make that science applicable, to sort of make sure that it happens, and we're just not funding it. And so it's such an interesting, you know, carbon capture and storage is one of those things that they talk about on natural gas plants all the time, where you would actually sort of make sure that it's not leaking that methane that everybody talks about, the flaring and things like that, and everything that's sort of bad about natural gas. There's a way to make that not as bad. We just, as a country, certainly in the United States, but also as an industry, the industry doesn't want, it's super expensive to sort of make that fix. And until they absolutely have to, they're not gonna. And so that's sort of where we're at. It's like, we keep talking about how this is dire and how this is absolutely sort of no turning back. And then we just sort of nod our heads and say, oh, we should be doing it.
It's not a universal we, though, is it? Because if it
That's
were
true.
A universal we,
You're right.
it wouldn't be a debate. It's a segment of society that thinks it's a problem worth investing money to fix. There's a segment yep. of society that thinks it's a problem but not worth spending the money to fix. And then segments of yep. society that don't think it's a problem, and a giant spectrum all along that route and many other
You're
spaces
right.
in between. So I think it's important for us to just sort of think – how then, if this is going to be a priority for the planet, who needs to be in the room to make sure that these decisions actually represent a broad
sort of how those discussions are happening,
perspectives.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. I hope yours is a little more fun, a little more, come on.
No.
What do you think?
No,
okay.
I think that the reason we have a Make Me Smile is because the news fixes tend to be a little bit down in the
sure,
a little bit
sure.
on the downer side. I have a bunch of things about COVID-19 and the Delta variant in particular.
Sure.
News out today that the Pentagon is planning to require the members of the U.S. military to be vaccinated probably by around mid-September, potentially sooner, if the FDA
right.
approval for these vaccines go through. I saw a very interesting tweet from the CBS, I think, White House correspondent, who was quoting the leaders giving this press conference and saying, look, the military already requires like 18 vaccinations for
17,
service
18,
members.
Right.
17
exactly.
vaccinations for service members. This is just another one on the list. Par for the course. We do this all
sure.
the time.
Sure.
Which reminds me of another tweet I saw earlier today about, you know, all the vaccinations that are required for schools that we don't really think
yep.
about because we don't have those problems anymore. Like, you know, mumps, measles, mumps, rubella. Well,
sure,
now
polio,
we have measles.
Right?
Anyway,
like,
a lot
exactly.
polio. Thank you. You know,
yeah.
there's not a lot of people walking around with polio because we had enough vaccines to almost eradicate it.
Mm-hmm.
So that came out today.
Right.
Rolling Stone has this story about all sorts of music shows and festivals shutting down because of the Delta variant. The New Orleans Jazz Festival was canceled for the second year in a row. Counting Crows canceled its performances. Limp Bizkit, Lynyrd Skynyrd, lots of groups are saying, you know what? This
yep.
is too much. We're not going to do it. We're not going to put our fans at risk. At the same time, the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota is the
yep.
busiest it's been in years, according to official, and about 700,000 people were expected to show up, according to an AP story in the Argus Leader. Last year, that was really bad.
Yep. No, I mean, I remember reporting. I did a report on exactly. I talked to people, bar owners up in Sturgis about exactly that. There was such an interesting sort of interesting bifurcation, right? Because and it sort of speaks to exactly, I think, a lot of what all of us are sort of dealing with. It's these business owners need people to be there. And Sturgis is that motorcycle rally that supports them for something like a year and a half. It's really, really important. And so you sort of, you know, when I was doing the reporting, I was listening to people, you know, you're nodding your head. It's like, no, I get it. This is just not good for what's going on right now. And so I think right now, and there was a lot of people, a lot of the officials that I talked to also said they didn't cancel it last year because they knew people were going to show up anyway. That was the big mm-hmm. sort of attitude. And I think there's a little bit of that reaction happening right now. Why you have such big crowds is that it's sort of like, well, I missed out last year. I was just going to go anyway. I think there's a little bit of that happening.
It was a super spreader event last year, though. And,
correct.
You know, I follow a reporter and a friend of mine, Jeremy Fugelberg, in South Dakota, who, you know, mm-hmm. made it his business to start tracking all the different places that there were COVID cluster outbreaks that trace back to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And that lasted well. That had an impact well into the spike we saw in the winter. I hope that doesn't happen again. We have a lot of vaccinations. We have better information. But, you know, hospital ICUs are filling up in many places.
Yep.
And it is cause for concern. But we are blowing through our time. Let's quickly hit the what did we miss? Because
sure.
It is what did you miss Monday. I mean, all
sure.
that's kind of stuff that's been percolating.
Right.
Mine is a story that I've been following. So there was this big recall of Philips CPAP machines. And mm-hmm. there's a portion of the population that knows exactly what a CPAP machine is, and many of us,
right.
many people who do not. It's basically this machine where if you have certain respiratory illnesses, you put it on your face and it helps you breathe at night. And basically, Philips had this recall that said there are some of these machines that might release fibers and things that can get into your lung and cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Big recall. But The Verge has this really detailed look at all the struggles people have had actually trying to get new machines or to get theirs fixed, because it's not like a TV that gets recalled.
Exactly.
Where you can just go without a TV. You have to be
yep.
able to keep breathing at night. And so a lot of people have really struggled to get these machines fixed. And then it all factors into the supply chain shortages that we've been seeing as well. So I've been
exactly.
kind of watching that story. I know a lot of people who rely on these machines who've struggled as well.
No, I have a CPAP machine myself. My cousin has one.
Oh, do you?
You know. Oh, yeah.
Is
and
it
so
a
it's
Philips one or no?
No, that's what I was going to say.
How's your breathing doing at night?
I'm doing all right these days. But it sort of gets you to think. You're right. I mean, what happens is people stop breathing. You know, during the night, and so these machines are absolutely. You're exactly right. It's not like, oh, I need to go into a Best Buy and pick up a CPAP machine that fits me, because a lot of them are customized to you, the breather, because it's a medical device. And so no, it's. It's a difficult thing when your machine, you know, when they tell you your machine might be, you know, sort of harming you. It's like, all right, well, I gotta breathe tonight. So mine is it came out last Tuesday, and you and I were talking about this a little bit. I think you and I have talked about this before, but sort of the idea was the NCAA. So what happened was during the NCAA tournament last year, some athletes on the women's side of the tournament, the sort of big Final Four tournament, released some videos about their facilities relative to what the men were, the men's facilities. Like they, you know, the lunches that they were eating were such, you know, so subpar relative to what the men were afforded.
And the famous photos.
So what
of the
happened
gym.
Was. Yeah, exactly. The weight room that wasn't a weight room. It was like it was an yeah. old office or something like that. Yeah. And so what ended up happening was, to its credit, the NCAA commissioned a study. And so a law firm came out on Tuesday with a 118-page study about basically exactly how the women's tournament, this specifically the women's Final Four tournament, has been undervalued by millions while the NCAA has prioritized the men's tournament. And a lot of people say, well, you know, nobody watches the women's tournament. Why does anybody care? That's been sort of the argument for a long time about women's sports and funding and things like that. What I think this report reveals to us a little bit, at least, is there's no priority. So there's no marketing to get people to watch the women's game. They sometimes don't even know when the games are. My brother and I watch a lot of sports, and we watched so much women's tournament last year because the games were so good. It's basketball. And I think a lot of people, if you told them, if you marketed it right, if you told them, hey, these are when the games are and you should be watching because it's really good, I think a lot of people would. What this report sort of tells us is that they just haven't been investing in the women's side of basketball at the collegiate level, which is awful. It's true. And it's this report sort of reveals what some people have been telling me for years. But now we have the documentation. Now we need to take steps to make sure that we correct this, right?
So what are they going to do about it?
I have no idea, Kimberly. Yeah. There's a commission. Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, said this is going to be a priority. This is one of those things that we're going to take a look at. It's sort of that line, right? When you have something like this come out, then your line has to be, oh, this is a priority. We are going to change things. And then in a couple of months, when people forget about this report, and nobody, except for the folks in Marketplace, keep bringing it up, then it goes away. But I hope.
Well,
I hope
I'll look
we keep
forward to your
to
monthly
them.
Stories on right. status updates on this report. Right on. Okay, I'm ready to smile. How about you?
Sure. Oh, I was born ready.
Okay, I'll go ahead and go first.
Yeah, you go.
I have a story about ink. Particularly black ink. So you may have seen these stories over the years about all this research on like the blackest black that you've ever seen, these colors.
Yeah.
And you can like look at it and it messes with your head and everything like that. So Fast Company has this piece on this ink that you can buy for your pen or for painting or for whatever you use, like, you know, bottled ink for, because that's what everybody does. I happen to have a few bottles of ink because I like to write with fountain pens every so often because I'm weird like that.
You're that person, sure.
I'm absolutely that person. But the most interesting thing about this article is this epic battle that has been going on over who has rights to this particular shade of black
color.
Ink and who is and isn't allowed to use it. So, yes, you've got your like Tiffany blue green and a couple of these other like
you have your Pantone color wheel and all that stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. So somebody basically bought the rights to this particular shade of extra black,
that's
like
awesome.
Deep into the abyss black. And then another artist like got mad and has been making fun of them. And there have been like this tit for tat. And it's like drama over
who
gets to own this particular color shade. And it was very fascinating to me. And now I want to like order some bottles of ink and test them out to see like, you know, what it's like to write with them and what it makes my letters look like.
So as you sort of wait for my reporting on the NCAA, I'm just going to wait for your reporting on this awesome black ink story.
How about I mail you a letter?
There's got to be something there, right?
I'll mail you a letter once I get it.
So there you go. So mine is going to resonate, especially when you were talking about Counting Crows and Limp Bizkit. It will resonate with some of the folks who understand who we're talking about. So what happened was Nickelodeon is almost 30 years old. The Ringer decided to create, and this actually dovetails from my NCAA story too. I know that hurts, right?
It really does, because I remember when it first came on.
I did too. So what happened was the Ringer created a bracket. So exactly like the NCAA bracket that you would fill out for the tournament, they created a best Nickelodeon character bracket. And it's fantastic. You have SpongeBob as a one seed. What I think is really, really interesting, and what brought this to me, a bunch of people were talking about it on Twitter today. There is Mark Summers versus Mike O'Malley. Mark Summers is the 4 seed. O'Malley is the 13 seed. Mark Summers was the host of Double Dare, right? And he was sort of around Nickelodeon forever. And O'Malley was the host of Guts, the Aggro Crack. You remember that show, Guts?
Oh,
I can hear the theme song in my head. And So what happened was everybody, I mean, you had so many different people, certainly from my generation, weighing in on Twitter about exactly who should win. And that's exactly sort of how they're going to do it. They're going to tally votes on Instagram and Twitter and through the website about who should win. But you have, you know, Doug Funny is a one seat over there. Tommy Pickles. Like, it's awesome for somebody like me who's like, I know all of those characters, right? And so you're rooting for them like a bracket, like you would watch basketball games. You're rooting.
This is going to give awesome. Them so much information about our generation.
Man.
Like, talk Seriously, about the data no. harvesting opportunity there. Okay, I'm definitely, nevertheless, I will be filling out right. that bracket. Okay,
oh,
we got to go. We went like overtime, yep. even though it's a podcast, That's good. We technically have unlimited time. That sure. is it for today. Tomorrow, we are going to take, as Andy mentioned, a deep dive on what the next chapter of the pandemic looks like for businesses, especially as a growing number of them start requiring vaccines for either their employees or for customers. So if you have questions on this topic mm-hmm. or any other topic, like sports, because Andy knows all the sports things, send us an email or a voice memo or a voicemail. We are at makemesmart@marketplace.org, and our phone number where you can send that voicemail is
508-827-6278 or 508-UB-SMART.
That was a great announcer voice, Andy.
Oh, hey, thanks.
It's almost like you're on the radio or something.
You set me up. Come on.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer, and our executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
And we did it.
We did
it.
We've got
to figure out a way
awesome.
To
That's
not,
fun.
Like, go deep into depression when we're talking about the pandemic tomorrow.
Especially like, at the top. Yeah, it's like, well, you're talking yeah. about climate change and the pandemic. Like, Jesus. That's
Ooh.
That's okay.
I'm glad you're hanging out, Andy. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, this is super fun. Yeah, I am too. I think tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Cool.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.